Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Genesis 1:1 reminds me of a song that we used to sing in HIACS, the high school youth group. Though the tune is somewhat dated, the message is timeless. In the stars, his handiwork I see. On the winds, he speaks of majesty. Though he ruleth over land and sea, what is that to me? The topic of creation and this question, what is that to me, is where we're headed this morning. Now, last month, I mentioned to my daughter, Karis, that we'd be studying Genesis. And I had been feeling kind of overwhelmed about the theme. One verse, big truths. And she offered to pray for me right then. And I thought, oh, good. She's going to pray that I understand the theories on origins, the different ages of the earth, and all the conflicting views. But instead, she prayed that my relationship with the Lord would be strengthened through our study of Genesis. That was the prayer I needed. Listen to this oracle by Agur from Proverbs chapter 30. I am weary, O God. I am weary and worn out. I am too ignorant to be human, and I lack common sense. I have not mastered human wisdom, nor do I know the Holy One. Who but God goes up to heaven and comes back down? Who holds the wind in his fists? Who wraps up the ocean in his cloak? Who has created the whole wide world? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Tell me if you know. Every word of God proves true. He defends all who come to him for protection. I was so encouraged when I came across those verses. Agur is one of the wise. He's aware of his limitations. He recognizes he doesn't have all the answers. But what's more important, he affirms that God's word can be trusted. When life turns upside down and gets kind of crazy, where do we turn? Whom can we trust? We can come to God's word and know it is here we find the truth about who God is, the world he has made, and our part in it. Now, some of you have probably studied the book of Genesis before, and for others, this may be the very first time. Actually, it's kind of a gift if you can approach the Bible and say, God, show me who you are. Give me fresh eyes of faith to believe your word. Because if nothing else, as we consider the big theme of creation in Scripture, it's a divine revelation to man of God's wondrous works. Without it, we wouldn't have much of an idea about the beginning. This morning, let's look at Genesis 1:1 as if we were coming to the event for the very first time. Let's set aside our preconceptions and our misgivings and hear the inspired word of God so that our relationship with the Lord will be strengthened. As an outline, I'm using who, what, where, when, how, and why, and then we'll add in a final so what question to make it a total of 7. Question 1, who? What leaps to our attention is who was at the beginning. In the beginning, God. We could just kind of stop there. No human was present, only God. Think about it. We have God's account of what happened at the beginning. God was the only eyewitness at this event. That's what special revelation is about. God disclosing truth to man in his word. General revelation, also by God's grace, is knowledge about God through observation of his created world. And they both give testimony that God is the author of life. We can take it or leave it. If we take it, we believe it by faith. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God." If you're struggling to believe, ask him for more faith to trust his word. Just about a year ago, if you remember, we were studying the book of Job. And at the end of the book, chapter 38, God speaks to Job and asks him a ton of questions. God, as man's creator, is his first teacher. And by the way, those are not just rhetorical questions, because God is waiting for Job to give him an answer. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy?" God questioning Job is a good place for us to start. It's an opportunity for all of us to go back to school. In his word, God reminds us he is Lord and we belong to him. As creator, he is and remains the owner. In Spanish, I'd say el dueño. He's the landlord. He is master of all he has made. And by his power, he sustains and rules. Genesis 1:1 introduces us to our Creator. And it's such an important truth. It's the first one we affirm in the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." Now in verse 1, the name for God is Elohim, indicating the supreme or mighty God. It's a plural noun. Though he is one God, he manifests himself in three persons. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, we have an echo of our verse. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word refers to Jesus Christ, his Son. The Bible teaches that God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was fully present at the very beginning. And so in creation, we have that first hint of the Trinity, the Father's will, the Son's agency, and the stirring of the Spirit. Genesis 1:1 presents each of us personally to the living triune God. Let's go on. Question 2, what? What did God do? God created the world and established his rule. The word for create means to bring into being and implies there was nothing before God created it. No such thing as eternal matter or eternal energy. Wendell Berry has a short poem about the very beginning. Stanza 1. What banged? Stanza 2. Before banging, how did it get there? Stanza 3. When it got there, where was it? The poet, as you can tell, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, wants the reader to ponder the true origin of the universe. God existed before anything else. He was before our birth, our thoughts, our actions, our ambitions, and he is the source of life.
I thought, perfect time to talk about the perfect placement of the sun in relation to the earth, that God set it there, right? That if it were any farther away, we would freeze. If it were any closer, we would burn up. And I'm explaining this, and I'm speaking it out loud, and I'm marveling in my own mind that God did that. It was only slightly dampened when my child said that they would rather freeze to death than have the hot and sunny day that we were having. So we will try that again in a few years. But it was good for my heart to marvel. Mankind has, since the beginning of creation, been discovering God's incredible design. We have yet to get to the end of it. We have yet to get to the end of discovering the stars, the plants, the birds, the fish, the animals, the intricacies of the human body, all that God made. There's no end to the wonders that God made. There's no depth to the beauty of it. There is no exhausting the intentional purpose in it. It's all so good. The psalmists are so helpful in pointing out the proclamation of creation, that the heavens declare the glory of God. Creation doesn't exist just to look pretty. If you can read the book of creation, you'll hear it telling of the main character. God created that he might be known. And then the creation story, it zeroes in on one particular aspect of God's creation on day six. The story builds to this grand finale of God's work, mankind, the crown of creation. It begins with a conversation with himself. Don't forget, the whispers of the Trinity, one God,
in not far from each one of us. This is a creator who is engaged with his creation. He's alive. He's personal. That means that even now, where you live, whether in Wheaton or Glenellen or Winfield or beyond, the where of our existence has been chosen by God so that we would seek him and find him. Question four, when? The creation of the heavens and the earth is set in prehistory, before man was created, and we can only speculate about the actual date. The author Robert Graves has written, "History is almost valueless without dates or other indications of time." I'd have to agree. In fact, when we read in the beginning, it's not even within the scope of history as we know it. We don't have an adequate vocabulary. God is eternal. He is outside of time. And the beginning of creation spans an unknown period. Yet God created time and has ordered events. And we'll look at the sequence of events next week with Joanna. Jen Wilkin, in her study material, provides a great overview of useful resources. And in particular, Wayne Grudem's book is helpful for those who want more depth and detail. But the Bible was never intended to be a textbook of scientific data. It is a book of theology, the study of the nature of God and belief. Better than craving historical dates, let's cultivate wisdom about God and about our world. I love how Proverbs chapter 8 links wisdom right back to when God created. Here, this is wisdom speaking. "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before he had made the earth with its fields or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And now, O sons and daughters, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. And do not neglect it. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor with the Lord." Friends, the Bible does what no other book on earth can do. It recounts from the beginning the long view of God's loving relationship with man, how it unfolds, and when it will end. Genesis 1:1 is the very beginning of that relational record between God and us, and the wise person will listen to it. Question 5, how did creation happen? Scripture in several places says it quite plainly. God called things into existence by his will and by his word. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Revelations 4. John Dryden, the 17th century British poet, put it well. This is a piece too fair to be the child of chance and not of care. No atoms casually together hurled could e'er produce so beautiful a world. Our world came about by God's will, and Genesis 1:31 says, "The world God created was good." Psalm 29 and Psalm 33 also give testimony to how God created. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Let everyone in the world fear the Lord. Let everyone stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and the world began. Don't let the order of creation or scientific inquiry, as interesting as it is, obscure the how of creation. It was God choosing to speak life into existence. Finally, I appreciate what Francis Schaeffer has written regarding the how. There will be no final conflict between Scripture and natural science in the end. Those matters that seem irreconcilable now will one day be reconciled. Question 6, why? I like how the Westminster Catechism for Kids sums it up with a question and a response. Why did God create you and all things? For his own glory. God is all sufficient. He doesn't lack anything. He created and sustains all things for his pleasure. In Acts 17 again, Paul declares, "The God who made the world and everything in it," and how disappointing and destructive when man doesn't honor God, his creator. Ladies, since God created all things to display his glory, it follows that we, as part of his creation, will also give him glory. Let that sink in. How are you doing? When we make much of ourselves, or even when we admire creation, but stop short of acknowledging the Creator, we are robbing God of the glory he deserves. Reflecting on these kinds of realities, St. Augustine would write at the end of his confessions, "Lord, teach me and heal me." Finally, question 7. So what? Or what is that to me? One theologian has said, Genesis 1:1 was not written as the result of some lengthy scientific investigation or as a philosopher's explanation of the world or even as a literary description, but in order that you and I should put our faith in the living God and worship him. Hearing God speak in the Bible pulls us back from the brink of thinking we can figure everything out on our own, that we are masters of the universe. And as we continue to study the book of Genesis, we'll see God's good work of creation spoiled by sin. But the God who made us doesn't leave his world to muddle along on its own, but sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinners. And this is the good news. 2 Corinthians 5 says, if anyone is in Christ, that means putting your faith in him. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Friends, God's wondrous work of creation is only surpassed by his glorious work of redemption, which makes possible that new creation within us. I've realized that going back to the beginning gives perspective on our current situation. God is our sovereign creator, and learning to trust him as Lord of creation means that even in chaotic times, we know he's in control. So I've got some homework for all of us, and you have some options. Go for a solitary walk to Northside Park or around your neighborhood and have a conversation with your creator. Or talk about him, brag about him as creator with your kids or your grandkids as you look up at the stars at night. Read Psalm 104 and use that as a joyful response of praise to God. Somehow, take the time this week to be more aware of his greatness and goodness. The God who made you and knows you wants you to respond yes to him as creator and redeemer. The song I started with at the beginning, this is how it ends. Till one day I met him face to face, and I sought the wonder of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, that lived away up there. Now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching over me lest I stray, helping me to find that narrow way. He's everything to me. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, may this be true for each one of us. And in your name we pray. Amen.